Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I mean, he was right on top of it. He had his mom helping advise him. His mom's an attorney. He also reached out to us. I got on the phone with him a number of times. Dee Smith, the former executive director of the PA, got on the phone with him a number of times. Some of our legal team got on the phone with him a number of times. So he did a hell of a job. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and he's an intelligent young man, and you know, I was highly impressed with him.
That was Mark Levin, former director of salary cap and agent administration with the NFLPA. Spent 37 years there, seen a lot of contracts, a lot of negotiations, talked to a ton of agents, ton of players that represented himself.
Every contract in the league came through his desk.
Yes, and now he's the owner and co-founder of Pro Football Consulting. But I wanted to ask that question to Mark because there were a lot of people in real time.
Oh, yeah.
Lamar has no idea what he's doing. Uh-huh. His mom has no idea what he's doing in these negotiations. Uh-huh. And throughout that interview, and if you missed it, you can always go back on the Odyssey app, people, yesterday. Mark kept pointing out he did a hell of a job. He did really well for himself.
Well, and look, that was a long, protracted situation. And I thought, and had commentary throughout it that I thought he did an exemplary job. And I think they took him for a rube and they took him for a fool at various times. And that's why it dragged out as long as it did. And they would whine and cry, well, it's because he doesn't have an agent. I would whine and cry, it's because you tried to exploit him because he didn't have an agent, to the point where your owner came out and said some ridiculous, absolute, utter nonsense about, I don't think he even wants to take my money. He doesn't think he's worthy of my money till he brings me a Super Bowl. Like, all that happened. He requested a trade publicly, put it on his social media. That happened. That doesn't happen with franchise quarterbacks. You don't see that. That doesn't, like, as Mark pointed out, mediocre quarterbacks don't usually play out a franchise tag. Future first ballot Hall of Fame ones never do. Like, it's happened like one time, and they made this kid do it on his rookie deal. So, yeah, I think they tried to break him, and I think they found out about his resolve and about his ability to represent himself and stay educated on these matters. And I think there's a lot of people in the media who piled on him because there's a lot of people in the media who get spoon-fed by agents. And how do agents make their money? Negotiating contracts. And when agents get cut out of contract negotiations like this that were as lucrative as this, they start to get worried, and so they start to protect their turf. So there was a whole machine. There were multiple machines working against Lamar in this situation, and he still emerged the victor. And guess what? He negotiated a contract that is structured the way it is now, so that he has even more leverage now than he ever has before because of the way those big cap numbers work as poison pills, because he got the no trade, because he got the no franchise, and because he keeps balling out at a level most quarterbacks in the history of this game never have.
He holds all the cards for everything that you're saying, the $74.5 million cap hit in 26 and 27, and of course, having that no franchise tag clause in his deal. So we brought on Joel Corey earlier in the offseason, and Joel was a longtime agent in the NFL, and he said, if I was representing Lamar Jackson, I would not want him to sign a contract extension right now. I would want him to play it out, have more quarterbacks sign the mega deals. He brought up Jaden Daniels by name. Well, here's Mark Levin on Lamar's current contract situation.
That he does have a lot of leverage. The no franchise tag thing is huge.
Yeah.
If he's willing to play out the next 3 years, don't believe any of his 2027 contract is guaranteed. So there is some risk there, obviously, but I think and his 26 contract, his 26 salary is already fully guaranteed right now. So they're on the Ravens are already on the hook for, I think it's like 51 or whatever the number is, somewhere around 50 million. But these cap hits are really his leverage. You know, if the salary cap in 26 goes up to, I don't know, like 290 or 300 million, he's going to be taking up almost 25% of their cap. So that's almost, that puts the team in a bit of a bind if they want to out and sign some quality players. Now, it's certainly the owner's decision who he wants to sign, and maybe he doesn't want to go out and sign quality players in 2026 and 27. But I think after this season, you know, hopefully he has another great season, not only for the Ravens fans, but for himself personally, and stays healthy. You know, I think I would press them to get something done in the spring if I was representing him.
Mm-hmm.
If not earlier. You know, most teams like to have, certainty on what a player is going to cost them as much as you possibly can in the sport of football. And most teams usually work like on a three budget cycle for both salary cap on the player's contract and also how much cash they're actually outlaying to the player. So I think, you know, certainly in the spring would be a good time for both sides to come together and give him a new deal. The top of the market now is Dak Prescott at $60 million a year.
Right.
And, you know, Lamar has a lot of good arguments to be paid more than some of these players of him right now. Like I said before, he's the 10th highest paid quarterback right now.
So a lot to unpack there. And Mark kept bringing up the spring and maybe Lamar wants to do that because, again, it puts that much more pressure on Eric DaCosta and company. If you're the Ravens, ideally you want this thing done before week one. That way, hey, we don't even have to worry about that $74.5 million cap hit. We can operate as if his cap hit, I'm just throwing a number out there, is in the 40s. And then you have that $30 million in additional cap space to play with in 26.
Yeah. Again, In a perfect world, this is done before Josh Allen. They're, again, having to play catch-up here a little bit. Now, Josh Allen, I think, left money on the table and did some agreed to some things that the Ravens probably are okay with. But you've got these sort of ticking time bombs up ahead of potential restructures, other restructures, and then just this whole next wave of Stroud and Daniels, and we'll see what continues to emerge at the quarterback position. I will be really interested to see if Lamar is willing to do what's in essence a 3-year deal. Now there'll be voidable years and other fake things tacked on, but whatever he does is probably at its core going to be a 3-year deal. And those 3 years, I'm sure he's going to want fully guaranteed. And I wonder if those 3 years are north of $200 million.
Well, and Mark did confirm what was in the 61-page document that the Ravens were willing to do a fully guaranteed 3-year deal.
Yeah.
But you brought up the point, the annual per money, and Mark just mentioned it. Dak Prescott, currently the highest paid in terms of annual money per year at $60 million. And you said, Jason, I threw out the number 65. You said, maybe 70. Maybe 70. Here's Mark on what that range could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Dak got a good deal because he had a ton of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I remember correctly, he had a no franchise clause in his contract as well. And that provided a lot of leverage. And plus, you know, you've got Jerry Jones who's got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think probably, you know, I would probably be shooting for $70 million a year if they were to do the deal at the end of the season. You know, probably knowing that that might be a tad high,
mm-hmm.
right? But you've got to, you know, you got to ask high in order to come down, and, you know, have yourself some, leave yourself some wiggle room to come down to a number that you're happy with. And, you know, whether or not the Ravens want to go that high or they still see the value in paying Lamar that type of money over the next 3-4 years or whatever it would be. I mean, that's where the negotiation comes in. That's what, you know, Bishotti pays Eric DaCosta a lot of money for. Yeah. And that's the reason Eric, I mean, Lamar Jackson earns a lot of money. Well, he's definitely one of the best in the game.
Yeah.
Well, it's very clear he's going to blow by the $60 million per year. It's how much.
Yes. Yes. And look, I don't think Dak Prescott is in a position to succeed this year. The cast around him is not great. I still don't know about their ability to run the ball. And I have a hard time thinking. I think Dak had a season 2 years ago that's going to look like an outlier over time. He's also lost some of the people from a coaching standpoint who helped him get to that point. I think his head coach is overwhelmed. Whereas Lamar, we just did the exercise of rank the position groups. If the defense isn't great, it's going to put even more stress on Lamar. And if this is one, big brother holding up little brother, and big brother's being led by what would now be a potential three-time MVP quarterback, who you could say maybe it should be four, I got news for you. It's north of 70.
Orioles beat the Mets 3-1 in game one of their doubleheader. 5:05 first pitch for game two. Don't worry, we're going to get back into the O's. A ton to unpack. That's at the bottom of the hour. We'll recap the first game. Gunnar Henderson was your hero with the pinch hit two-run homer in the eighth inning. Go ahead at that point. Made it 2-1. O's won 3-1. Also get into the news of the day. Brian Baker has been traded to the Rays in exchange for the 37th overall pick. Orioles from 330 to 4. But coming up next, we're going to keep the Ravens talk rolling. Special teams. We both were ranking all the position groups, and special teams was the lowest on both of our lists because you got a rookie kicker. Jordan Stout hasn't been all that great through his first 3 years. Punt returner was a serious issue for them last year, and now you have a rookie there. How big of a deal is their special teams? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Kickoff return is different than punt return. Eric and I talk about this a lot. You know, you can find kickoff returners. Running backs seem to be really valuable in this new return game thing. And we have really good running backs who are, you know, we have three guys that are really good at it as running backs. And so I'm pretty excited about those guys going forward. Punt return is a whole different thing. You know, how many guys have done both? I had Brian Westbrook was able to do both. James Thrash was only a kick returner. The guys who have been here over the years have been kind of like that. Some have been both. Some have been more punt return oriented. But we need to get settled at punt returner. You know, that's a huge role on the team. Whether it's one of the guys here right now or someone that we are able to bring in, that's an important position for us. I think you're making a good point.
That was John Harbaugh, I believe, during the end of season press conference. And I remember asking Eric DaCosta the question at the draft luncheon about, you know, how much is he putting into drafting someone with a return ability? And John Harbaugh even jumped him and said, yeah, I want that. We need that. And they did. They drafted LaJonte Wester out of Colorado, who past couple years has had a punt return for a touchdown. Each of those years he was at Florida Atlantic prior to Colorado in 2024. But you have a rookie there. You have the Looper, who, of course, is a rookie. And didn't look all that great, it sounded like, during OTAs at minicamp, but we'll see how that looks during training camp. And then Jordan Stout is entering a contract here, and Stout's kind of been a little mid.
Yeah, I think this is far and away the biggest personnel issue on the football team, and it is not a small one because you saw for years how many warts Pete Tucker covered up, offensively and defensively. When this team had elite special teams, you saw what that could do for an offense, you know, early career or late career Flacco, or, you know, sometimes early career Lamar, what it could do to help them. What field position could do, what an accomplished punter who could pin teams routinely inside the 10 could do, that they might benefit from none of that, Bone. And my sort of double whammy concern here is their unit sucked over. Take the specialist out of it. They had bad special teams, second worst special teams EPA in the NFL last year. Only San Francisco was worse. And now you're telling me the specialist might be worse or on par with what it was last year. That could be incredibly problematic. And frankly, when it can be most problematic is in the playoffs, when you don't have the talent advantage as often as you will in the regular season, and when you might be on the road in some adverse conditions, and we know the how slim the margins are.
And when it comes to kicker, we brought this up maybe a week or two ago. Does this change how John Harbaugh and Todd Monken operate in terms of, they really haven't gone for it much on fourth down these past couple of seasons? Do we see an uptick there, especially early in the year, whether it's Looper or insert name here at kicker, until that kicker builds the trust in them? Maybe if they're in the 51 to 53 yard field goal range, you're probably going for it more in that situation.
They talk a big game about this kid now because they have to, and they should.
Yeah.
And they have been very good at evaluating this position, but you don't know till they get here. How long does he win the competition? If he struggles early, how long of a leash does he get? How long before on Tuesdays, even if they're not signing anybody, they're working two or three guys out just to see what kind of shape they're in. Like, this is uncharted territory for them on a lot of levels. Like, and if the punter and the return guy aren't good as well, guess what? It's going to shine a bright light anytime any one of them messes up.
Well, Jason, and think of it this way. Ravens' first two road games in Buffalo and Arrowhead. Two hostile environments, yes. Two very good football teams, two games that you need to win if you want a good shot at getting the one seed. You need to at least split, but if you win both of them, you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. And look, these are not positions that you have a whole lot of like depth or next man up. You're trolling the waiver wire. You're trying to make a minor trade. You're working guys off the street who, in the case of kickers, might have been out of the league for 6 months or 9 months or whatever. Like, what is their stomach like for this? How much can they digest having to operate around a kicker if that's the way it looks like it has to go for at least a period of time? How steep will his learning curve be?
And we focus a lot on the kicker, and rightfully so, but you heard John Harbaugh. Punt returner was a significant issue for them last year. They ran through, five guys? And guys not knowing when to catch the ball, you're fair catching the ball inside the 10, you're completely changing field position. We've seen fumbles from the punt returners last year. That is an area that needs to be settled. That's exactly what John Harbaugh said, and this is another rookie you're relying on.
I mean, it stands to reason they probably hit on one of these two.
Sure.
I guess. I mean, even the punter. Is that one where if it's more of the same by week five or week six, are they looking somewhere else? Right? Like, if he's not getting another contract here, then why do you necessarily wait till the end of the rookie contract to upgrade?
Jordan Stout has three years in terms of net yardage per punt, net yardage. 20th last year, 33rd in 2023, and 21st in 2022. Net yardage.
And it's also, I don't like the directional stuff and pinning guys in certain spots. That just hasn't
He was
really,
21st.
That hasn't been there.
Inside the 20 last year, 21st.
There's a lot of room for improvement there. And again, that's another position where they were spoiled for a long time. For 12, 15 years, you didn't have to worry about a punter.
Well, and also, they used a premium pick on him. He was a fourth round.
Yeah.
He was a fourth round pick. This isn't Looper in the sixth.
No.
Yeah.
But there's no way he's on track. If he was on track for a second contract, he'd already got it because you don't need to wait. Yeah. How many contracts did they do with Tucker?
Cook.
If you got one,
Sam Cook.
You're every couple years, here's a few more million. We're going to tack on some more years. No. The fact he hasn't gotten it yet means he's probably not getting it, which to me also means if it's not looking right 3-4 weeks in the season, does that become a revolving door?
We'll get more into the Ravens later on in the show, but so much has happened with the Orioles today. They traded Brian Baker for the 37th overall pick to the Rays. The Orioles won game one of the doubleheader, and we're going to recap the game, recap the trade news on the other side.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. And how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Henderson to deep right field. Soto gives it a look, but only a look. Orioles lead in a pinch. Gunnar Henderson off the bench onto the flag court.
Yeah, obviously not trying to do too much in that situation. The emotions can get high. You can try to match the intensity of the situation, but I felt like I did a good job of going up there and just kind of seeing what he was trying to do, and got a good swing on the ball.
Kevin Brown on the call, courtesy of Masson, and then you heard the hero of the game for the Orioles, and that was Gunnar Henderson, his first career pinch hit home run, and this one in dramatic fashion, eighth inning. Orioles were trailing 1-0. He delivered a two-run shot that went 400 feet.
Yeah, great moment for him. I think smart not to have him play both ends of this doubleheader, and with a tough lefty who, let's face it, was very tough on the O's overall in game one. They played this right, and Vasquez makes a great play at short, and so you get both ends of this. You get Gunner's bat late. You get his defense early. You get Gunner off his feet and fresh for game two, where the Mets are going to have a bullpen game, and it'll probably be more righties than lefties. So all that works out incredibly well for them. But let's be real. If Charlie Morton wasn't able to be better than David Peterson, they're probably not in the position to do this. And that is a good Mets lineup, and Morton held them at bay. And the Orioles also overcame their own mistakes, because there was a situation with Jordan Westberg being thrown out at third base that was not major league caliber, but we see that all the time. And Jackson Holliday continues to have misadventure after misadventure on the base pass.
Orioles, it's great that Charlie Morton was able to deliver that type of outing. And then their 27th man, Grant Wolfram, he went two innings. Felix Bautista was able to close it out. So, like you said earlier, Jason, the fact that they still have their entire A team for this game too is big because of the uncertainty that is Tomoyuki Sugano, where it's been a really rough run for him. Five straight poor outings. He's only completed five innings once. This feels like a big start for him upcoming at 5:05.
Yeah. I mean, it's the last time we'll see him before
the break.
Which he definitely needs. I don't think he's going to be traded, because I don't think he's going to get anything for him. And this, you know, Elias is about optics and trying to prove himself right. And if this guy gets a little better down the stretch, you know, I think that's probably where the GM's head is there. I don't think other teams are pining to get an overpaid fifth starter at best, who's probably not built for the major league season and certainly doesn't have major league stuff. Like, the velo is what it is. It's not going to improve through the year. He's not used to a five-man rotation. And we're not even really into the dog days of summer yet. He's not built to pitch in Camden Yards, at least hasn't been so far. This could be a tough assignment. But look, I mean, we got to give the Orioles some credit here, because the rainout, you know, and the day off kind of throws everything off. But they were coming off of a loss the other night, and they've been pretty good about this. When they have really peed down their own leg, they have usually been able to shake it off and fight. Now, it's a short burst, right? They fight for a game or two, and then they go back to being who they are, which is not a good baseball team, despite whatever the billionaire who bought them would try to tell you about them. Even during this run with Manzolino, they've been an average baseball team. They haven't been a good baseball team, and I don't think they're built to be a good baseball team for any sustained period of time. But when Charlie Morton goes out there, they have a chance to win.
And also, that goes without saying, they did this immediately following a trade as well with Brian Baker, where he was shocked, and reporters during open clubhouse, I think they ended up breaking the news to him, and he was hugging guys. This was around, 10:30, an hour and a half before the game. It wasn't that long. And for them to respond, and now Gunnar Henderson, for how great he has been, especially since June, we're still waiting for the power numbers, and we saw that home run, and he talked about building confidence after that game.
Yeah, I mean, they were battling out there all day, and I was glad to be able to come in and help out. And anytime we can steal a game like that, it gives us a little extra confidence going into the next game and into our next series.
And it is, I shouldn't say it's funny, but he did bring up a couple days ago how he was hoping that they would buy at the deadline, and then earlier. But of course, what do you expect him to say? Of course they want him to buy, and he's going to have confidence in himself and the team.
Well, and that's what Gunnar should say, and that's what he should want, but it's not warranted if you take a step back and you're not as invested in it as he is. And I think, again, I've brought it up several times, and then Mike Elias brought it up today. Trading doesn't have to be waving the white flag. It doesn't have to be guys quitting. It doesn't have to be reverting to the kind of dog crap baseball they played the first 2 months of the season. Other people will be given opportunities, and some of them will take advantage of it, and some of them won't. But it doesn't have to be a death knell on their season. And Gunnar has not had as many signature moments this year as some other seasons. I suspect he has some of those in the second half.
Here's Mike Elias with that quote you're alluding to.
I think there's a lot of transactions in this business, and, you know, it's not always linear. And, you look at Detroit last year, they basically traded away some major league players, and their play continued to improve, and they made the playoffs. And, you know, it's this is a team that is moving in the right direction. And, you know, we still have a lot of time left before the deadline, but this was a trade with the draft coming up in a couple of days that we had to make a decision on. Didn't want to pass up on the opportunity.
Yeah, and some more of these moves, of course, are going to happen. And who's to say if a Sed, a Laureano, if when they get traded, maybe a Dylan Beavers comes up and is able to produce for them. Maybe you eventually see Chase McDermott. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be a horrible baseball team. Right now, they have the third worst record in the American League. So it's not like you're going from the 100-win team.
Well, and the part that nobody talks about is, I think there's going to be some regression for O'Hearn in the second half. Because inherently, he's not the fifth best hitter in the American League, right? He's 34. He's a little bit up there. People are going to pay attention. He's now starting an all-star game. He's going to get a little more attention. This is not a dominant lineup, and it might be thinned out even more. So, like, I don't think he's going to keep this up. Cedric Mullins certainly didn't keep up his first 2 months of the season. Ramon Laureano, he's not going to have the second half that he had in the first half. Like, it's not happening. So even if you kept everybody, you're not going to get them at peak level. So Elias knows what he should do. He knows what the right thing to do is. Now, will he get enough in return? Will he sell to the right teams? Does he know how to execute this stuff properly? And will he continue, in my estimation, to be skewed by covering his ass and optics and trying to keep this job more so than actually conceding the hole he's dug and address it accordingly? I don't think he's equipped to dig out of his own mistakes, because I don't think in his heart of hearts he really thinks he made that many mistakes. Just a few things conspired against him, and he had some bad luck. And if you don't believe me, and we'll hear more from him coming up, you could hear how his boss continues to talk about his baseball team, because I think he's got his boss bamboozled. And if he's got his boss bamboozled, that's all that really matters.
And with the Brian Baker as a whole. You trade in for a competitive balance A pick, 37th overall pick. You're selling high on Brian Baker. Is Baker going to be as good as he has been up until this point the rest of the way? We shall see.
Oh, I bet he's better.
And
because of where he's going.
And there's three more years of control for Brian Baker. But with that being said, you look at the trade on the surface, and getting the 37th overall pick, I think, is good value for a Brian Baker, but it's the expectation of it. If this would have happened during the rebuild, A plus. You basically got an extra first round pick there. We've seen a Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westbrook selected in that range. But this trade deadline should be about 2026. And that pick that's going to take place this weekend is not going to affect 2026. And that's where I have a bit of a problem with the trade.
They already had six lottery tickets on the first day of the draft. You're telling me a seventh is really exponentially more value?
And here's Mike Elias on his rationale, getting a draft pick instead of a prospect or a player.
Yeah, you know, I really, I don't view it quite that way. The draft picks are opportunities to bring really good players into the organization. And yeah, you may keep them and draft them and develop them, and that may take 2 or 3 years, you may trade them that winter, and that can impact the team. So this is just, hopefully, you know, we're going to see what we do with the pick. I have no idea who we're taking with the 37th overall pick, but we'll bring a really good player into the organization that we wouldn't have otherwise had, and there's a number of ways to monetize, to extract value from a really good minor league player.
What'd you think of that, Chase?
I think Mike Elias is all about trying to look smart, trying to save money and look smart at the same time for his billionaire overlord, and is all about value. I think he is someone who loves the fact that his billionaire is a private equity guy, and it's about assets, it's about value, it's about bang for your buck, it's about dollars spent on payroll per regular season win, it's about Baseball America organizational rankings that he's tanked in lately. But guess what? If you pick seven times on day one of the draft, you're probably moving up the rankings because they're not going to pan all those picks in real time. They'll probably give you the benefit of the doubt, which helps you then go to the owner and say, look, I got another wave coming, even though the first wave wasn't what it was supposed to be. The second wave hasn't really crescendoed at all. And I think the pipeline is more faux than real. The deeper these kids get through the high minors, and especially at the major league level. But this is how he stays employed. And I think that, more than anything else, is what he's driven by.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, Lucy Burge. She's an IA Hall of Famer. She apparently did a shoot at the car dealership in Boston. What's going on with that? The Red Sox are hot. Joey Chestnut, we know she's a huge Major League Eating fan. We'll get Lucy's thoughts on that. But coming up next, Jason alluded to it, David Rubenstein. He talked during C-SPAN a couple of days ago, brought up the salary cap again, and how his team has looked and how they may look in the second half. We'll play that sound next on The Fan. Well, this Orioles season has not gone how Mike Elias would have thought, how David Rubenstein would have thought, quite frankly, how pretty much everyone would have thought. 9 games below .500, and the Orioles make a sell-side trade on July 10th. But here's David Rubenstein earlier this week talking about his team's struggles.
The first 2 years, the year I bought it, we did okay, not as well as we did the year before I bought it. This year has not worked out that well. We have a lot of injuries. We lead the major leagues, I think, in injuries. And, you know, what are you supposed to say to a young person who injures his arm? You can't say go out and play when your arm is injured. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult. And I'm not able to coach these players very much. I can't tell them what to do. I'm 75. These guys are 21, 22 years old. I mean, I'm, you know, so much older than them, I don't really have a hard time, getting to them.
You had a post on LinkedIn.
Well, I've made up, you know, like, for example, I one time got there early on the game. I said I had to make a speech for somebody on prostate cancer, and somebody, one of the young players, said, well, what's a prostate? And I said, you'll find out eventually. But
there was a Rubenstein on the team struggles, Jason.
I guess I'll grow into this. I don't. What am I supposed to say to that? I mean, nobody thinks you're supposed to be going around adjusting people's stances or whatever. But, dude, you're a leader of industry. You're a titan of industry. You amassed incredible wealth, and you did it through your acumen and your cunning and your want to and your desire to compete and win. You weren't a Nepo baby. I don't understand, like, what that messaging is all about. Like he hadn't spoken in a while. And the other clip we played is even more kind of weird than this. Like,
here's that
one. Like, what are you selling, bro?
You know, I leave the baseball to the baseball professionals. My job is to be the owner. It's to help with ticket sales, commercial things, take the blame when something goes wrong. But in the end, you've got professional baseball players, managers, general managers, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, baseball is a game of some, you know, injuries and so forth. But we have a very good team. We have good players. We won 3 games in a row against the Atlanta Braves the other day. We're going to play the Mets soon, and I think we have a reasonable good chance in the second half of doing much, much better.
It was obviously prior to Tuesday's game against the Mets, but yeah, he mentioned in that quote, taking blame. Well, I think that's the time where, hey, this has not been the season that any of us would have thought it would be. We're going to do everything in our power to correct this.
I can't just write it off to injuries, even though that's what one of my highest paid employees, who's not a player, right? Probably his highest paid employee, excluding people on the MLB payroll, Michael Elias, even though that's what he's spewing. I gotta come with something a little different than that. Like, look at it like how you would talk to your stockholders. Like, I don't understand how you're trying to tell us how good your baseball team is. Like, you just traded, this was 12 hours later, you traded one of your most effective relievers for a kid, if he ever plays in the major leagues, won't be for 5 years. Like, why is there this disconnect between reality? Well, I know why. Because he's been bamboozled by a guy who's the emperor, but the emperor wears no clothes. It's the Wizard of Oz, but then you look who's really back there, and it's somebody who's a nobody.
Then there's a quote where, interesting enough timing, Rob Manfred bringing up salary cap, and we know how that's going to go when the CBA expires in 2026. But Rubenstein said this: I think there's a general consensus in the country that we need more equilibrium. We want every team to feel when they begin the season they have a chance, no matter if you're in a small city or a big city, to win a World Series. Right now, the polling data suggests that many people don't feel their smaller town teams have as much of a chance against the bigger town teams. I think more equilibrium is probably what people want. That's what we see. We'll see what happens. And
the people aren't clamoring for this. The billionaires are clamoring for this.
Well, to be fair, I think some fans do want a salary cap. But it coming from the billionaire's mouth is
he just bought into this. He bought into this economic system. He just did it. Yeah. Everybody's telling me, well, he's only been here that long, right? That's the cop-out every time I try to hold people accountable. Well, he hasn't done it this long. Well, okay. Well, this is what he bought into. And what really kind of has me worried is when he seems dispassionate, almost like Elias, where things happen from the baseball gods and it either goes our way and it doesn't, when he talks about his baseball product. When I start to see passion and him politicking for something, it's for this salary cap that if it does come, it's going to come at the price of a season. It's going to cost the season. If they break the union, they're going to have to sit out a year to break the union. And he's got to already know that. And trust me, people I'm talking to at the MLBPA, they know it. So I just find this to be an incredibly fascinating tack to take. Because the more he talks, it's like it's Angelos with fat pockets. It's the kind of stuff you would hear Angelos say, but Angelos was a Nepo baby. Angelos didn't earn what he got, and Angelos would say things, and you're like, why is that the messaging we're getting now? And this guy is older than him, supposed to be smarter than him, and is clearly more wealthy than him, and he's kept all the Angelos people around, including many who should have been fired. He's re-empowered them, and he's basically taking pages out of the Angelos bullet points when he does talk. Oh, yeah, and now that they're not that good anymore, you don't find him out there saying anything. And when he does talk, it's the political media on C-SPAN. What's that all about? How's that accountability?
It would be nice to hear him talk after the trade deadline. When all these guys are gone, we expect them to be. It would be nice to hear from the owner for sure. Coming up at 4:15, we're going to get back into the Orioles, take a look at Coby Mayo, who was in the starting lineup in Game 1. Not in the starting lineup in
game 2. Not a lefty, Bone. It's not a lefty.
But coming up next, it is Lucy Burge. We'll get some nonsense with her. We'll talk to her about her Red Sox, and we will get her dong of the day as well on the Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.